This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com. Once again, I would like to take the opportunity to thank Rav David Solomon for inviting me to come to speak to all of you. You know, I never ad-lib. I only say what I prepared in my notes. But something happened today that many of you are probably going to hear about tonight or tomorrow. Somehow it's going to get around. And I want to share with you a mess that happened this afternoon. And the reason that I'm telling it to you is because you'll see there's a lot to learn from this. There's a woman in the Five Towns in Lawrence that was on a vacation a few weeks ago, well, 2 months ago in Miami. And she was walking with her husband and three children. And she said to her husband, she turned to her husband, she said, "I just don't feel well." And she fell and she went into a coma. And she's been in a coma for 2 months. And her parents are very, very well-known people in Lawrence. Everybody in Lawrence was davening for them. Women, the mother has an Amen group where women come every morning and say brachas. And she has tremendous, tremendous chusim. So they asked me last week if I would be willing to take these women. It's about 40 or 50 women in the group. And many, many times I've gone near Kew Gardens, actually, on the Interboro, or the Jackie Robinson, there's a cemetery that many, many great tzaddikim are buried. You don't have to go to Poland or Lithuania or Lezhensk. I mean, it's great to go to all these places. There's no question I've been to them. But right here in New York, between Brooklyn and Queens, you have Rav Palm and his Rebbetzin are buried there. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky is buried there. Rav Reuven Grzovsky, Rav Shlomo Hyman, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, Rav Henoch Leibowitz, Rav David Leibowitz, the Chavetz Chaim's second wife, and of course, Rabbeinu Yaakov Yosef. And I've done this many, many times with people, with schools, taking people, and maybe one day we would arrange something like that to do that one day. And today at 10 o'clock in the morning, we gathered together, all these people. I gave them a hakdoma. I spoke to them about the importance of davening by tzaddikim. And I told them that you're not allowed to daven to the tzaddik, as they state in Mishnah Berurah. What you do is you daven to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, that in the schus of this tzaddik, that this person will be helped and she'll be able to come out of the coma and relive and begin to relive a normal life. And I told them that the Goyen, it's very interesting, the Goyen and the Duvna Magid actually lived at the same time. Most people don't realize that. And the Goyen once was visited by the Duvna Magid. And the Duvna Magid asked him a question, a very interesting question. And it's surprising because the Duvna Magid was a mashpia, but I guess if you have an opportunity to speak to the Vilna Goyen, so you just want to be sure that you're doing everything right. So he asked him, how can a person be a mashpia? How does a person become somebody who influences others, Latoyev? So it's interesting. The Vilna Goyen said, I'll give you a mashal. Now we know that all the time, the Duvna Magid would give a mashal. And now the Vilna Goyen is giving the Duvna Magid a mashal. And he gives him a very interesting mashal. He says, imagine you have a big vat, a big pot. You can't lift it. And it's filled with water. How are you going to get water into all the little vessels that are around it? So the Vilna Goyen said, the only way that you can get the water into the vessels around it is that you pour so much into this big, huge barrel, as a gizach from Zichalein, it just overflows. So then all that are standing around, all the little vessels, they'll all get filled up because you're filling this vessel, this big vessel, with so much. So the Vilna Goyen said that if a person fills himself with Yerushalayim, with Avas Hashem, and Avas HaTorah, and Avas Yisrael, and it's overflowing, it's a gizach from Zichalein, so anybody who's going to come in his Dalet Amos, of course, is going to be able to gain because it's just overflowing. So I said to all the women this morning that we are all little people compared to the great people that we're going to go visit, whether it's Rav Palm, his Rebbetzin, Rav Yankov, and Rav Henoch, Rav David Leibowitz, the Chofetz Chaim's wife, and Rabbeinu Yaakov Yosef. That was the lineup that we decided. And just, I would tell stories about each of these people that we should absorb one midah teiva from every person, and like this. And then when we daven, whether we daven for this person who needed the refuah shleima, or for any other personal tzrachim that a person has, And Devisha hopefully would listen. So we started by Rav Palm. I always go to Rav Palm first because he was the Kohen. And I told the story, various stories about Rav Palm, his Edelkeit, and his Rebbetzin as well. The Rebbetzin, one story that I personally saw, I could never forget. Yeah, most of us here are old enough to remember Suri Feldman. Do you remember Suri Feldman, that little girl that was lost in the Connecticut State Park? And nobody knew where she was. If you remember, it was frightening. And, you know, all the Hatzolah people, thousands of people were looking for her. Now, it happened to be that on one Friday morning, that they found her on a Friday about 10, 11 o'clock or whatever. And I was driving to the Termasura convention at that time. And when I was driving to the Termasura convention, a bulletin came on, CBS, that they found Suri Feldman. Now, I knew that at the Termasura convention, nobody could possibly know that because everybody's at sessions and everybody's listening to speakers. So there's no way that anybody would have known that they found her. So my speech was at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, right after lunch. I came about, you know, quarter to 1. And 1 o'clock, I got up and I believe I was speaking, I think it was maybe men or women, surely that were women there, as you'll see in a second. And I said, Rabbi, I just want to tell you that there's a good absurda that Suri Feldman was found and she's safe and well. Well, there was a lady in the back that started screaming. Like you thought it was her grandchild. You couldn't believe, like, the joy of that emotional eruption of that lady was so incredible. I said to somebody, who is that lady? Is that her grandmother? And they said, no, that's Rebbetzin Palm. And I was so touched by that, that somebody, a lady who has no shaychus to Suri Feldman, could feel such joy. That was mamash, a Yiddish mama, Yiddish baba that felt. And that's what I told over by her kava today. From there, we went to Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, and we spoke about the Midas HaEmes. And I told them just one small thing that I'll tell you. Of course, I spoke much more, but one small thing about Rabbi Yaakov's Midas HaEmes, that when his son, Rabbi Yamin, was building South Shore, the South Shore Yeshiva, he started from grade one, and he asked his father a very interesting question. Think about what you would have answered. He said, the first graders, obviously, they can't reach the mezuzah, right? And you want the kids to kiss the mezuzah every time they walk by. So Rabbi Yamin asked his father, Rabbi Yaakov, can I make the mezuzah lower so that the kids should be able to kiss it? So Rabbi Yaakov said, you cannot be mechanach a child in something that's wrong. Get a little stool, get a chair, and make sure that they go and they climb up and the teacher will watch them, they shouldn't fall. But you cannot begin chinuch with something that's wrong. That's not the halacha, the mezuzah doesn't belong there. It belongs on the top third, as we know. And so we spoke about the Midas HaEmes. And then we went to Rav Henach. Now, those of you from Queens know that Rav Henach was the most wonderful Marbetz Torah. Tragically, he had no children himself. And I remember I told all the people there that every single time without fail, it's not like one time he missed, every single time without fail, that I was the mayel, and that he was the sandik before, when we put the baby on his lap to do the bris, he would call the father over, and he would say to the father, I give you a brocha that your son should be a marbetz Torah. That was the brocha every single time, thus at the Mongi Gangan 11. And of course, we see Chofetz Chaim has started, whether it's in Milwaukee, in Manalapan, and in Brooklyn, and in all these places in Milwaukee, in many, many places, Las Vegas, now they have it, of course, they have it for Eretz Yisrael, in Brooklyn, all over the country. It's just absolutely amazing. And to the point, I told them that when Rav Henach Nebuch was older already, he was getting to be a little forgetful, still people wanted him to be Sandik. So before I would start the bris, I would call over the father and I'd say, go over to Rosh Yeshiva and get a bracha. And of course, then he would remember and he would say, I'll give you a bracha, it should be Marbetz Torah. Now, by every Godol, I picked out a perek of Tilim that I felt was appropriate for that particular Godol. And I said, we're going to say one kapitel of Tilim that has to do with the Godol. The other kapitel Tilim will say that has to do with a Chayla. So whether we said Shem Malos Memamakim or Perek Chof or whatever. And then by Rav Henach, I had a perek picked out, but somehow, as I was turning in my tilim, I saw a perek Chav Gimel, and I decided, you know what, let's say Chav Gimel. And in Chav Gimel, which is a very moving pasuk, Gam ki eilech begeitz al moves, lo yiro ro ki atoi madi, and I felt that that's so important, because the mother of this woman who was in the coma, we had been walking together, and she said to me, She said to me, you know, we're davening so much, but the doctors told me 2 weeks ago, it's almost impossible. Nothing can happen. They took out the trachea, but she's on a respirator, and they gave up hope. And I say, she said to me, Borei Refuah is David, that can be Borei any Refuah. Why doesn't Hashem want to answer our special tefillahs? And we finished saying Tehillim, and I'm about to tell everyone, just daven for a few more minutes, and then we're going to go to the Chofetz Chaim's Rebbetzin, which is not far. She's buried right next to Rabbi Yerucham Lubavitch's wife. And all of a sudden, I hear a scream in the back. Now, when women start screaming, it's frantic, it's frightening. And one woman after the other. Now, you know, when you first, I thought, Chas v'Shalom, a tree fell on a woman or something. Like that's what kind of screaming there was. And then, you know, I realized there's no wind, you know, there's no tree falling. And so I thought maybe because it was so hot today that somebody was dehydrated and fell. And there was no doctor there. So, like, I thought I heard somebody say Hatzalah. You know, like when people are screaming, you don't know what you hear or not. So, of course, everybody's running to see what's going on. And I hear something about on the phone, like I'm trying to think what, they're trying to call the phone, so like what is going on? And then I come there, and they say the woman is on the phone. She just called her mother. She just got up from the coma. I said, I don't believe you. And the women are crying. They're crying. Like they can't believe that's the reason we came. To be misfollowed by the Kibbutz Tzaddikim that this woman should come out of the coma. The doctors have given up, and everybody's watching. She's talking to her. The mother's talking to the daughter. By the time I got there, she hung up. So I said, I don't believe this. I gotta speak to myself. Could you call her? She calls her on the phone. I say to her, how are you feeling? She says, I'm fine, Baruch Hashem. And like nobody could believe this. Now, of course, the mother left at that point. She went to Long Island Jewish Hospital to see her daughter. But everybody was standing there just in awe of what had happened. What are the chances of something happening that, you know, like at the end, when we were by the Kiva, Rabbi Yaakov Yosef, somebody said to me, you know, just touch up what happened. We all saw a mess. We all were davening for this, and it happened while we were davening by the Kiva. Like, what is going on? And I can just tell you, before I tell you what I told them, that later in the afternoon, about 6 o'clock, her doctor, a frum guy, Dr. Huberfeld, called me up. And he said, Rabbi Krohn, I just want you to know, I have been a pulmonologist for 21 years. I have never, ever seen anything like this. I want you to know there are no medical words to explain what went on today. There are no medical expressions or definitions of what went on today. And he said, I'm speechless. He just said, I don't know what to tell you. I know what you and everybody were doing at that time, and it's miraculous. And the reason that I tell it to you is because I told them that there's a mashah in Masechta Brachos that when somebody davens and the Eibishter answers the tefillah, it's not a ness. Tefillah works. And if you would have seen how those 40, 50 women were davening and saying Tehillim, now, I don't know if you ever saw women saying Tehillim at a kinnus. It's all very quiet, but very, very soft. But these women, because they were alone, were saying Tehillim like Bochrim, saying the yeshiva. Out loud, we say there's certain kapitlach. I told them to say pasuk by pasuk. We said shiramaz ma'amakim, yam chashem yam tera, and those. And there's no suffix in my mind that it's this erlich atilim that worked. And then I told them, I said it's very interesting that there are three words, three different meanings, and they all come from the same sheirish. Nisoyin is a test. A nes is a miracle. And a nace is a flag that hangs up high. What's the connection between these three words? I don't know where I got this from, and I don't know how it came into my head, but I had to say something. And Yevusha just opened up my head, and it just flew in there. And I said to them, why is the Yevusha give people nisyonos? The Yevusha gives people nisyonos because when they pass the nisyon, they're on a higher madriga. So the nisyon makes them to be like that flag. That's that nace. That's way up high. That's why a flag is called a nace, because it's up high. And that's what a nesoyin, that's the purpose of a nesoyin. Why would Hashem give tzaddikim like Avraham Avinu, asar nesyonos? Teretz says it's not a test because he thinks that he's going to fail. Just the opposite. He knows he's going to pass. But because he's going to pass, he's going to be on a higher madriga. He's going to be on a higher level. And when a person experiences a miracle, a nace, Then he comes back, a higher Madrega person. Devishta made a nest for me. I owe him so much. I saw with my own eyes how tefillah works. So obviously, I have to become a higher and a better person. That's Nisoyan, that's Nes flag, and that's Nes a miracle. So when you hear about it tomorrow, I mean, every, you know, 5 minutes I get another call from somebody. Now, somebody asked me if it's going to be on Yeshiva World. And I called one of the people that was there, and they said that they really don't want it because Chas v'Shalom, it shouldn't be an Ayin Hara. As the doctor said, she has a long way to go. She's out of the coma. She can respond, but there's a long way to go when a person's been in a coma for 2 months. So I tell it all to you, and I know it's going to be tomorrow on Torah, anytime.com, it'll be all over the world. But it's important to know that tefillah works. Sincere tefillah works. And I said to everyone there, the Rabbi Shalom embraced each and every one of us and showed us just something that the people just could not believe it. And that's the reason that I tell it to you is there's a beautiful story that happened with one of the Talmidim from, I think it was Rav Chaim Volozhiner. And what happened was that he was running away with two children from a communist type of country. And every night there was a boat that was taking people across the river from this communist type of country to a place of freedom. And they had to sneak out at night. And many, many people were pushing to get on these boats. And the boats, you know, were very weak boats. And everybody knew that one day or one night it's going to crack. And the night that this father was with the two children, unfortunately, the boat started cracking apart. And there was panic and everybody was yelling and screaming. And all of a sudden, this father, less than a quarter of a mile away from shore, realized that he's in the water with his two kids. Now, you can't swim with no hands if you're holding both children. How are you going to do that? It's impossible. So he had a 10-year-old boy and he had a 6-year-old boy. And he starts crying and he says to the children, I don't know what to do, but there's no point in three of us dying. I've got to drop one of you. I'll hold one of you, but I don't know what to do. Tell me, I don't know what to do. And he's pleading with his kids. He's pleading with himself. He's pleading with the Rabbeinu Shlalom. So the older boy says, Tati, let me go because I can swim a little bit and you could save the younger boy. And the younger boy says, no, Tati, take the older boy. Save him because he's already in yeshiva. He's learning Torah. He's more chashiv than me. You save him. And, you know, he's battling what to do. And he knows that he's got to move. And finally, he decides that he's going to drop the older boy. And as he's about to drop the older boy, and the boy realizes that he's going to fall in the water, the kid yells, Tati, please, don't drop me. Don't drop me. Hold me. And the father can't drop the kid. No matter what, he can't drop his son. So he's holding both kids, and somehow, miraculously, he makes it to shore. And he comes onto the sand, and he drops both kids on the sand, and he collapses, and he faints. And when he gets up, the 10-year-old boy says, Tati, you saved me. How could I ever thank you? You saved my life. And the father said to him, and the father says to him something remarkable. He said, I didn't save your life. You saved your life. He said, me? You carried me. He said, no, you don't understand. When you cried out in that way, you gave me a certain strength that I didn't even know I had. I didn't think that I could carry two kids. But when you cried out that way, somehow you gave me a certain strength and I was able to carry both of you. So you're the one with your crying out to me. You saved it. And I heard once a Mashgiach tell this story. And he said, a gevaldike gemara. The gemara is in Brachas, Daf Lamed Beis, Amud Aleph. Im roya adam, if a person sees that he davens to Hashem, and he's not being answered, what should he do? He should daven again. And the gemara brings a pasuk. Kave el Hashem chazak v'yameitz libecho v'kave el Hashem. In other words, kave el Hashem, we hope for Hashem, we hope to Hashem. We hope and we daven. And sometimes a person davens and he figures, like, how can, you know, it's not happening. She's in a coma 2 months. Hashem, like, why aren't you answering? And you just don't give up. You just keep on davening. You keep on davening. That's what happened today. And that's the lesson that I want to begin tonight with. I know many of you, and I know that many of you are going through different and difficult challenges. Some at home, some with kids, some with jobs, some with health. Everybody's got something. Don't think that when you look around this room that, you know, there's somebody here who's got it all. If you think somebody's got it all, that's only because you don't know what's going on in his life. Golus is challenges. Everybody's got something. Nobody gets away scot-free. And if a person has a challenge, whatever the challenge may be, a person should never give up, should always daven. Kavi al Hashem, chazek v'yamis libecha, v'kavi al Hashem. I want to tell you an amazing story about davening. This story happened with Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. Many people don't realize that the Soloveitchiks and the Feinsteins are actually related to each other. So Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, his Zayda was Rav Elia Pruzhiner, Rav Elia Feinstein. And this story happened when Rav Aaron was only 6 years old. He was a brilliant, brilliant child. And he was standing next to Zayda davening Slichas. Now, we know that the most powerful part of the Slichas is the Shmak Eleinu. And everybody says it with Gishmak and with feeling. So, of course, this six-year-old boy is trying to impress his Zaydi. So when it comes to saying Shmak Eleinu, of course he said it with a lot of gusto. Shmak Eleinu, Hashem Elokeinu, Chuz V'rachim Eleinu, V'kabe V'rachmim, Uv'rotzen Es Tfilaseinu. Next pasuk, Ashiveinu Hashem Elecha V'nashuva, Chadesh Yomeinu Kikeda. Then, it came to a pasuk, and this pasuk, as the six-year-old boy, didn't say with such feeling. Al tashlechenu liyei zikna. Do not cast me away in my old age, kechlois kechenu, when my kechais are waning. Al tazvenu, don't forsake us. His Zayda noticed that he didn't say this episode with Azagosto. So after davening, he came over to me and said, Aaron, I want to ask you a question. I saw that and I heard the way you were davening. You were saying slichas ganz geschmack. But when you came to this pasuk, al tashlechenu liyei zikna, you didn't say it with such excitement. So the little boy smiled and he said, Zayda, it's not negeah to me. I'm 6 years old. You know, al tashlechenu liyei zikna is like, you know, for old people. So Rav Elia Pruzhiner smiled, of course, at the child. And he said to him, my tired einikol, let me tell you something. Let me tell you the deeper pshat. In the pasuk, of course, the pasuk means what we think it means. That's a regular pshat. He said, "Le'ez zikna is a mindset." There are many people who have a mindset, and that they're finished, they're gone, they're burned out. And there's some people like that in the 30s and in the 40s and 50s and 60s and 70s for sure. He says, "What we are being mispalo for is al tashlechenu le'ez zikna. Do not." Cast us away where we feel that we can't do it anymore, or we don't want to do it anymore. We don't have the strength to do it anymore. We say, okay, let the young generation take over. Let somebody else do it. I paid my dues. A yid is not allowed to get burned out. No matter what your age is, if the Eibishter gave you life, then you have the opportunity to accomplish something. Otherwise, he wouldn't keep you in this world. Hashem keeps us in this world every single day, so we should do something for somebody else, not only ourselves. Otherwise, Hashem doesn't need us in this world. There's a frightening, frightening, I'll never forget. I was once learning by Rav Palm, we were learning Tanakh, and he told over an amazing Yalkut Shemayni, a Yalkut Shemayni which is in the Pasuk in Mishlei. And the Pasuk is, it tells us, Kabeid es Hashem mehoinecha. People say Mahincha, that's not how it says in the Pasuk. It's Kabir es Hashem Mahinecha. That a person should be Machabed Hashem with his talents. Hoinecha doesn't only mean your wealth, whatever talents the Eibishter gave you. And the Medrash in Yalkut Shemayni tells us something frightening. Many of you know in Tanakh there was a person by the name of Novois. Novois was a person who had vineyards. And the king Achav, who was a Rosha, wanted to buy the vineyard of Novois because it bordered on the vineyards that he had. What happened? Novois didn't want to sell it. He said, listen, I got this from my father and from my grandfather. I have an emotional attachment to this vineyard here, to this kerem. I don't want to sell it. So Achav goes into a depression, and the Pasuk tells us that Izebel, who was a greater mashaz than Achav was a rosha, she sees her poor husband, he's not eating and he's not sleeping. She says, what's wrong? And he says, I can't get Novois to sell his kerem, which is right next to ours. She says, don't worry, I'll take care of him. And what happens? She makes up a whole bilbul, and she makes like a court case, and he's ruled lemisa, and he's killed. So the Medrash asks, why was Novais killed? Because he didn't want to sell to Achav? What's the muvan of that? Why did that happen? And the Medrash tells us an amazing thing. The Medrash tells us that Novais Koilai Noah, he had a beautiful voice, and he used to go up to Eretz Yisrael, he used to go to Yerushalayim rather, and he would daven for the Amid every single Yomtif on the Shalosh Regalim. And the people loved how he davened. We all know that if you have a Baal Tefillah, right, Bezalel, we have to tell you, or Rabbi Schoenberger, and I was sure, Baruch Hashem, we were blessed with the greatest Baal Tefillah, Hetzel Shechter and all these other wonderful people, should live to be 120. So when you have a geshmak about tefillah, your davening is better. It's so elevating. So what happened? One year they say to Novais, Novais, come to the Yerushalayim, come to the Beis Hamikdash. He says, no, I'm tired, get somebody else. I'm burned out. Get somebody else, I've been doing it a lot of years already. Or Yvezok the Medrash. He says that he doesn't want to do it anymore. So the Medrash says, so what am I keeping you in this world for? The only reason I kept you in this world is because you have a talent and you could inspire people. But if you don't want to do it anymore, then you're out of here. I don't need you here in this world anymore. And once he said that he was not going up, that was the year that he died. It's a frightening medrash. I remember Rav Palm teaching it to us. I have it underlined in my Yalkut Shemoini. It's frightening. It's frightening. You know what that means? That you can't get burned out. You got a talent. You got to use it. And that's the point. Do not be cast away to old age, the mindset of old age. Of course, maybe somebody who's 60 can't accomplish what a person who's 40 could do. Maybe the koichas aren't there, but he could do something. Can't just sit around and do nothing and just grow like a flower. It doesn't happen that way. That's not what Hashem wants. Hashem wants everybody to accomplish. I'll tell you another thing. What does it mean to accomplish? What does it mean to be in this world? I remember one year at an Aguda convention, Dayan Chanoich Erentrei, who I've become very, very friendly with. He's just a wonderful, wonderful Talmud Chacham and a very energetic and enthusiastic person, just incredible. And he spoke once Motzei Shabbos. Now, he may have spoken, I think, the most 12 minutes because it was so late already. And he didn't want to abuse the privilege of them having asked him to speak because, after all, it was well after midnight. But he said one vort. And every single time that I see him, we go over the vort, I just have to hear him say it over again because the way he said it was out of this world. He quoted Hashem Shmuel, the Socha Chavar Rebbe. And the Pasuk is in Bereishis Lamed Chofei. And he quoted the Rebbe and he said like this, Vahika she yolda Rochel es Yosef. When Rochel gave birth to Yosef, Vayyame Yaakov, Lavan Yaakov says to Lavan, Shalcheni, please send me, Ve'elcha el Makoimi ula Artsi. And now I can go to my home, I can go to my place, I can go back to my land. So the Socha Chavar Rebbe, the same Shmuel, asks, why all of a sudden did Yaakov feel that because he had Yosef, now he's confident? What, he had Yehuda, right? Yehuda was Malchus. He had Yisachar, Yisachar was all the Tamid HaChamim. He had Levi, that's Kayan and all the Levian. What was so special about Yosef? Zok the Shem Shmuel. It's all in the name. Yosef means to add, to give more, to accomplish more, never to be satisfied with the status quo. Zok Yaakov to Lavan. Now that I have a child who's never going to have a mindset of an old man, he's always going to accomplish. Because he wants to steig hecher and avas Hashem and avas Atayra and avas Yisrael. And every day he's going to try to do more. Oh, that's the kid I can face the galus with. Now I could go. That's a great lesson for all of us. That's a great lesson. And if we understand that the life every day is such a precious gift. When you think about that woman who was in a coma until this morning. What did she wake up to every day? Nothing. Nothing. What a waste we would have thought. But now that she's back, she could eventually, hopefully, recover and accomplish. But every day you have to accomplish something. Whether it's in learning, whether it's in writing, right? Like this tzaddik over there, who writes a fabulous column on tefillah every week. You should get it from him on email. It's unbelievable. The chidushim that he comes up with every week, just incredible. And a person accomplishes. When you're learning and you're writing, and you're producing, or you're teaching, or you're inspiring, you're doing something. Hashem wants you in this world. That's what Yosef is all about. A person should do more. And that's what we've come to talk about. What should a person do more? How does a person do more? How do you get out of that mindset of not being atashachen al yezikna? So I'll tell you an amazing story. There was a woman that many of you have heard of, probably, certainly in my opinion, the greatest mechaneches that ever walked on American soil. And that was Zahava Bronstein, Allah Sholem. Anybody here from Brooklyn knew her? Certainly your wife may have known her, or your daughters in Camp Shira, whatever. A fabulous teacher, a fabulous speaker, just the most wonderful role model that you could imagine. And I had the schus many, many times to be on the same program as she was. We spoke for Neshe Cares, for the Aguda many, many times, and other venues as well. And I remember she once told me a remarkable, remarkable story. Her husband, Rav Shlomo Bronstein, Zolzayin Gesund, they were all very close to Rav Huttner and to Chaim Berlin and to the whole crowd of that era. And she told me that when she made a Sheva Brochas for one of her children, they wanted Rav Shlomo Freifeld, who was also a Talmud of Rav Chaim Berlin, Rav Huttner and Chaim Berlin, that he should be at the Sheva Brochas. But he was very sick already at that time. So Rav Shlomo Freifeld said, if you come to my house in Far Rockaway and you make the Sheva Brochas in my kitchen, I'll sit at the table and I'll be able to participate. And that's what they did. They had a breakfast Sheva Brochas because they wanted Rav Shlomo Freifeld to be there. And of course, the Sheva Brochas went on. And then they asked him to say a few words. And he told the most remarkable story. Again, as we will see, not only an amazing story, but a brilliant mamish taich that Rav Shlomo Freifeld gave in a posik that we all say every Yontif and every Rosh Chodesh. Unbelievable. He said that the Kotzke Rebbe once went to faher the children in the Chadorim in an area in Europe. And he was going from place to place, and he came into a place where they were finishing Parsha Bereishis. Not Chumash Bereishis, but Parshas Bereishis. So he walks into the class, and you know, in many of the yeshivas, especially in the younger grades, the kids sing the Nigunim, they sing the Psukim, and the boys are singing the Psukim, and then he says to one little boy, tell me the Pasuk, where are you up to? And the little boy is at the end of Parshas Bereishis, and the Pasuk tells us, and the little boy was singing, Vayechi Adam, Adam Adgelept, Adam lived, and then the Pasuk tells us how many years he lived, 930, Vayomos, and Ezgestarvin, Vayechi Sheis, Sheis Adgelept, Sheis lived a certain amount of years, 912, Vayomos, and Ezgestarvin. So the Kotzke Rebbe says, Yingala, Zezok, Menid, the Pasuk, we don't say the Pasuk like that. So like, the kid didn't know, like he was copying the Rebbe. He said it exactly like, he says, Nein, Zog Nachamal, say it again. So the little boy says the same sing song. Vayechi Adam, Adam had gelept, and it says how many years? Vayomos, and Ezgi Starvin, Vayechi Sheis, Sheis had gelept, Vayomos, and Ezgi Starvin. And he says, no, I'm sorry, you don't say it that way. And now even the Rebbe was surprised, because that's how the Rebbe taught it. So the Kotzke Rebbe says, I'll show you how you say it. And it goes like this. Vayechi! Et gelebt! Vayomos, it's gestorben. Vayechi! Et gelebt! Vayomos, it's gestorben. And then Rav Freifeld said, you know what? The Kotzke meant. And he said such a fabulous pshat. We all say in Halal, loy omos ki echya. David HaMelech says, I will not die, I will live. Loy omos ki echya. Vasap er maasekon. I'm going to tell over the stories, the maasem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Zog Rav Freifeld, the word ki has many meanings. Ki means also while. Loy omos. I'm not going to live a life of death. Ki echya, while I am alive. And isn't that brilliant? In other words, I'm not going to lead a fashlof in a life. I'm not going to lead a life of death while I'm alive. I'm going to live a life of enthusiasm, an excitement, an accomplishment. Loy omos ki echya. What an unbelievable taich. I have it underlined in my siddur. Everybody should underline it in your siddur every time you see it. You remember that fabulous shot from Rav Freifeld. Loy omos ki echya. That's really what it's all about. So the question is, so how do we encourage ourselves? So I remember that I had the great schus to be in Antwerp. And at that time, there was a Rosh Hashiva, was also a Rav. His name was Rabbi Yehuda Traeger. Yehuda Traeger is the son-in-law of Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Orbach, so you could imagine, and the Mechutin of the Novominska Rebbe, Yibad L'chaim. So I was in his house, and we were talking about excitement, about zrizos, enthusiasm. And he told me a fabulous pshat that he once heard on this pasuk. Now we know that in Tilim, Kuf Yud Tes, that's the longest of all the parokim. It's got 176 psukim. Now, I don't know. I wish somebody would give me an answer. Rav David, maybe you'll come up with something one day. Why Bava Basra is the biggest Masechta, has 176. Nosoi, the biggest Parsha, has 176. And the Tilim, the biggest Kapitel, Kuf Yud Tes, has 176. What's so special about 176? I never really got an answer, you know, that satisfied me. If you have an answer, call me afterwards. But 176, it's got to be something. You got something, Rav David? You know what?
Of course, it's right in between 1 and 351. 351 is exactly what I was talking about. It's
Archeomen.
I wrote a whole piece on this.
Oh, yeah? Okay, so he'll tell me. I knew he probably would come up with something. Okay, you'll tell me. Okay, you'll tell me later. But anyway, so the idea is 176. Now, so there's 8 psukim with Aleph, and 8 psukim with Beis, and 8 psukim with Gimel. And now, in the 8 psukim of Ches, there's one pasuk that says like this. Chashti. Hashem says, David HaMelech says, Chashti, I hastened. V'loi yismamati. And I didn't delay lishmar mitzvaysecha, to do your mitzvahs. So our Traeger asked, if David HaMelech said already, Chashti, I hastened, why does he have to say, V'loi yismamati, I didn't delay if I hastened? That means I didn't delay to do your mitzvahs. So he said he once heard a fabulous text. He says, imagine you see a guy, he's running to shul. So you think, wow, oh, he's so enthusiastic to get to shul on time. He's a lazy good for nothing. He woke up 25 minutes late. That's why he's rushing. So David HaMelech saying, is chashti, I hastened. Not because I woke up late. I hastened. I didn't delay. I got up on time. But I hastened lishma mitzvaysecha, to do your mitzvahs. So I remember I once said this someplace. And a guy comes over to me and he tells me that the Bava of a Rebbe said this. Now, I never heard it from the Bava of a Rebbe, but it is so adorable that I want to repeat it anyway. And he said like this. The Bava of a Rebbe supposedly said like this. That when the alarm goes off at 20 to 7, so you should be able to get up and get to shul by 7:30, that's the cold call Yaakov. But as soon as you put your hand on the snooze alarm to sleep another 20 minutes, that's the Yadayim Yedei Esav. So I don't know if he said it, but it's great anyway. But the point is, the Kol Kol Yaakov and the Yadayim Yedei Esav. So that's what David HaMelech is saying. Chashti, I hastened. V'lo yismamati, not that I got up late. Now, in the Orcha Sadikim, which of course is a great sefer on many, many topics, it tells us on the in of Zrizos, Shar Tezvov, Midas HaZrizos, Hitachshit L'chol HaMidas. The midah of excitement, if you do things with excitement, that's the jewel of all the midas. Any problem that you have, you undertake it with excitement, with alacrity, with enthusiasm, you're going to be able to solve the problem. So I want to tell you something fascinating, very, very personal, but something fascinating. Anybody who writes anything, if you've ever written a composition, an essay, Shtikl Torah, whatever, the first sentence is very important. Because when you want the reader to continue reading, so that first sentence is the thing that's going to grab the person. You read the Hamodiyah, the Yated, or Mishpacha, whatever you read, Ami. But you take a look at the first sentence, you'll see that first sentence is really a key of what the whole thing is all about. Because if it's boring, you know, there's so much to read, you're just going to throw it out. And you're not going to continue. So I remember one time, I decided, you know what? I want to see how the Shulchan Aruch started. The Tur, the son of the Rosh, he certainly knew every Medrash, every Pasuk, every Gemara, every Chazal. So how did he? He was the one who started the Abra Chelke Shulchan Aruch, and he wrote the Tur, right? Yodea, Ar Chaim, Ebenezer, Chayshim Mishpat. How did he start it? So if you take a look, it's very interesting. In the Tur Shulchan Aruch, Simon Aleph, the first words, he picked a Mishnah in Ovis. Ovis. Perikei, Mishnah Chav Gimel. Yehuda ben Tema Aime. Yehuda ben Tema says, Hevi az kanomer, be bold like a leopard. Kal kanesher, swift like an eagle. Rotz katzvi, run like a deer. Vigibar kari, be strong like a lion. Lasais, return avicha shabashamayim, to do the will of your Father in heaven. In other words, he started with Zrizas. Isn't that amazing? Datur wrote thousands of halachas, 1,704 simonim in all of Shulchan Aruch. And the thing that he started with, excitement, Zrizos, Rotz Gatzvi, Gibar Kari, Lasois, Ritzayin Avicha Shabashamayim. And when I saw that, I could not believe it because of an incident that happened to me when I was a teenage boy. Now, when I was a teenage boy, my goal in life was to make it to the next summer in Camp Agoda. To me, Camp Agoda, that was the best thing in the world, camp. And what was the spitz in camp? Color war. That's what I lived for, a whole year, color war. I loved it. And everybody who knew me knew that I loved it, and it was wonderful. I went for many, many years. And one year around Purim time, my father comes over to me and he says, this year, you're not going to camp. What do you mean I'm not going to camp? That's like taking away Gan Eden. What do you mean? Why am I not going to camp? So first I thought maybe because he couldn't afford it. But he said, no, you're going to do something better than camp. I said, better than camp? There's nothing better than camp. What's better than camp? He says, no, I'm sending you to Eretz Yisrael. Now, this was in 1964. So in 1964, this was before the Six-Day War. Nobody, very few, went to learn in Eretz Yisrael. Certainly girls, no girls went to seminary in Eretz Yisrael. So it wasn't like traveling, you know, like you travel from here to Borough Park. You know, people travel to Eretz Yisrael. I'm sure most of us here have been in Eretz Yisrael many, many times. But in 1964, very few people had gone to Eretz Yisrael. Certainly not on vacation. So I said, Pop, why am I going to Eretz Yisrael? Why are you sending me? He said, because there's something very special going on. Can I just have some tissues if you don't mind? Thanks. Thank you so much. So he said that the Agudas Yisrael is making a Knesia Gedoila, and all the Gedoilim, the Chashiva Gedoilim, and the Rosh Yeshivas are going to come around in Eretz Yisrael, and I want you to go with your tape recorder, and you record all the sessions, and you're going to stay there after the Knesia, you'll stay for a few weeks, and go visit all the Tzaddikim in Eretz Yisrael, and you'll go record them. Now, in those days, again, MP3 is a joke. They didn't even have cassette tape recorders. If you remember, they were reel to reel, right? The, like a big boom box, if you remember, right? And you had this big reel to reel thing, and you had to schlep this around. And that's what my father wanted I should take to Eretz Yisrael and record those sessions. I thought I was going to another planet. I'm telling you, I'd never been on a plane. And Eretz Yisrael to me like was like in the Midbar. You know, from the Midbar, they went into Eretz Yisrael. I couldn't believe there were buses and cars in Eretz Yisrael. Fine. But, okay, it was 1964, and sure enough, I came to Eretz Yisrael, and it was really the most incredible experience. And you know, when you're a young man, and you know, you don't really understand the world, so you do some silly things. I mean, I'm embarrassed to tell it to you, but, you know, that was when the Binyanei Omah just opened. It wasn't even finished building yet. The rafters were still there. And I remember Rabbi Elia Lapian, right, the Godel Hador, the Baal Musa Hador. So they asked him to open up the session with saying Tillim. I didn't know who he was. And it was 1,000 people there. And he got so excited about saying Tillim. And so excited about it, he started touching it. And I shut my tape recorder. I said, who is this old man? Wait, he loses himself. He's touching Tillim. He's supposed to say to Tillim. Of course, I could kick myself. Who wouldn't want to have today Rabbi Elia Lapian teaching the Psukim and Tillim? But I just didn't know who he was until I went to visit him, you know, a couple weeks later. But the point was, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein was there, Rabbi Kreiswurst was there, and, you know, all the Gedolim of that era. It was absolutely fascinating. And in those days, in 1964, it's hard to believe this, but most people in Eretz Yisrael didn't even have a telephone. Today, everybody has two cell phones. But in 64, if you wanted to make a call, you had to go to the post office and you had to make an appointment to when you were going to call, and you had to figure out the time zones in New York and figure out when the post office is going to be available. And there was one person on the block who had a phone. So for 2 months, I didn't speak to my parents once, but every single day I got letters from them and I would respond to them. And that was like my diary of the trip. And one day my father writes me a letter and he says like this, I know you're coming back soon. It's near the end of the trip. Could you please do me a favor? I heard that there's somebody who goes around and wakes up people at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning for slichas. You're there during Elul. Could you go with your tape recorder and record how this guy wakes up people for slichas? He sings a certain song. I would love you to bring it back for me. And I'm thinking, what am I, crazy? I'm going to go 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. My father doesn't even know if this guy's alive. And I'm going to go with this boombox and I'm going to try to find somebody. I ask people. Some say he lived, he didn't live. He did it, he doesn't do it. Nobody knew if he still does it. Okay. So I may believe I didn't get the letter. I answered every letter except that one. A couple days later, I get another letter from my father. Maybe the mail's not so good, but I wrote you a letter. And I know now you're only there another 2 or 3 more days. Could you please see if this guy is still singing that song to wake up people for slichas? Okay, it's my father. He asked me twice. He paid for my trip. I decided I'm going to go. I didn't go myself. I was afraid. So I had another guy come with me. And we're walking in the street. And I've got this boombox on, you know, trying to pick up a voice someplace. You know, maybe somebody's singing something someplace. Because at night, the voice carries. And I don't know if you remember this, but does anybody know their history? Before the Six-Day War, so there was a gvul of Yerushalayim. Does anybody know to where it went? What was it called? No, what gate was that called? No, the Mandelbaum Gate, if you remember. It was called the Mandelbaum Gate. And maybe Shimon, but Mandelbaum Gate, right where Mir Yeshiva is today. So it was only after the Six-Day War that we got the old city back in the Kaisel. So it was right around there, by the Bukharian Heiser. And all of a sudden, I hear a guy in the distance say, Shtei toif aslichas, wake up aslichas. And I was thinking, that's what my father wants me to record. I can do that. Like, what's the big deal? Like, you know what? That I have to record that? But anyhow, so I'm walking with this guy, and then we're going to try to follow and figure out where the voice is coming from. And there we see a little man, and he's standing in front of, like, a little apartment house, you know, just 2 floors high. And he's telling people, Shtei toif aslichas. You know, it's early, Elul. It's early in the morning in Elul, and they get up there. It's not like we do only over here the Matzah Shabbos before, but like the Sfarim, many people in Yerushalayim say Slichas a whole Elul. So we run over to him, and the guy is so frightened. The poor guy, he never sees anybody 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, and now this guy's coming with a Chavetz Chashud, you know, and he's coming up to this, and he was filthy for me. Like, what do you want from me? So I said, you know, don't worry, we're not Americans. You know, like, that's the answer to Al Mishagasin. You know, we're Americans. Don't worry about us. So I speak to him in Yiddish, and I tell him, you know, I don't know if you know what this is, but this is a tape recorder. He's looking up and down. Vos mentos. So I said, you know, if you say something, I could play it back, and then I could hear your voice again. I said, my tata megizok, my father told me that there's somebody that wakes up people for slichas, and he sings a beautiful nigun. Do you know who that person is? Is that person still around? He looks at me and my friend up and down. He says, Dosimir. I said, that's you? I said, you sing that song? Because I didn't hear you sing it before. He says, Nein, Dosimir, that's me. So I said, please do me a favor. I hope you don't mind. But my tata megibet and shen tzvei mo, my father asked me twice already, please, that I should bring back this niggin of slichas. So he looks me up and down. And he says, okay. So now, I am so embarrassed to do this for you, but I'm going to do it anyway, because you will never forget this for the rest of your life. Just picture this. It's total blackness. You could only see it on the other side of Jordan, you know, the Mount Olives Hotel. Otherwise, it's total blackness over there. No, very few lights. And he goes like this. Yisrael am kodosh, shtei toif la'avodas ha'borei, rotz katzvi v'gibor ko'ari, la'sois ritzoin avicho shebashamayim. Yisrael am kodosh, shtei toif la'avodas ha'borei. Then he looks at me and he says, okay? Why was that okay? Yisrael am kodesh. Yisrael, the heilige nation, shteit oif lavoides aboyre, get up to serve your creator. Rotz katzvi, run like a deer. Gibor karibi, strong like a lion. Lasseis ritzayin avicha shabashamayim, to do the will of your father in heaven. Without exaggeration, my father must have listened to that tape recording 100 times. Every morning, every night, that's all he listened to. Of all the drushes that I could have recorded, this was so special. Now, your wife knew my mother, Allah Shalom, and Bezalel, and all of you, the Kew Gardens Chevra, they knew my mother. So, when I was growing up, there was no yeshiva in Queens, so I had to go to Brooklyn every day. So, my mother used to wake us up every morning. We had a big house, 3 floors. So, she would wake us up with classical music, Beethoven, Mozart, Bach, whatever. But once we had this recording, every morning, Yisrael, Avkadosh. You know, that's how we woke up every single morning. And then that was the first winter in 65 that Rav Shaul Shadron came to America. And it's a whole long story, which is not for now, that he stayed in our home. And one night we're sitting at the table and my father says to Rav Shalom, ich will dit zrig bringen zu Eretz Yisrael. I want to bring you back to Eretz Yisrael. And he says, Rav Avrom, was meinst du? What do you mean? And he says, listen. And he puts this on. Oh my goodness. I still see Rav Shalom. He's open mouthed. He can't believe that this is now in America. And tears are coming down his cheeks and he's listening. His eyes are closed. And finally, when it finishes, he says, I remember this man when he was a young man. I used to be a little boy, 4 or 5 years old. I used to listen to him sing this 4 o'clock in the morning. And after he finished, I just wrapped myself in my blanket and I went back to sleep. That was his geshmaka memory from this man. But that's how Yidden wake up. Yisrael am Kodesh. That's what it's all about. That's the beginning of Shulchan Aruch. Gibor Kadri, Lasos Ritzoy Navicha Shavashamayim. So I want to tell you something amazing. You know, all of us know that in the Torah there's no nekudais. So sometimes you have a chazal that will take a pasuk and read it in a different way than the Kabbalah that we have from Ezra. Right? And the chazal will make a diuk. Ushmartem es ha-matzais, we all know. So the Gemara says, al tikrei, you have to watch the matzais, right? And do it very quickly. So Rashi brings the Gemara. Do the mitzvahs. Just like you don't delay when you make matzahs, you don't delay if you have an opportunity to do a mitzvah. If you have an opportunity, do it right away. So just parenthetically, it's nothing to do with the speech, but I just got to tell you this anyway. This was in Queens, but I'm not going to say what shul, of course. The guy calls me up for a bris. And I say, okay, so where do you want to do the bris? He says, well, we can't do it in my shul. I said, why not? He said, because we have a matzah minion. I said, what? What's a matzah minion? He said, we finish in less than 18 minutes. And he was embarrassed that his family from Brooklyn or any place else should come and see how they daven. So we talk and did the bris someplace else because he was so embarrassed, you know, for the way he davens every day. So hopefully we're not going to start any matzah minyanim all around the place. But anyway, but Rav Hutner says a gewaldige Wort in Pachat Yitzchak, Maimer Aleph in the Nyanim of Pesach. And he says, we learn a great chiddush, Anu lemeidin chiddush gadol. Because Hashem could have taught us the idea of Zrizos in many different places in the Torah. But it taught it to us, the Torah taught it to us on the word mitzvah. So shemartem es ha-matzai, so shemartem es ha-mitzvah. Zokt Rav Hutner. You know why it's in the word mitzvah? Ki chasoren hazrizos ba'avoides Hashem. If anybody does a mitzvah without excitement, ain't perish sheyesh kan heder hamayla shel zrizos. It's not the perish. Well, the guy did the mitzvah, but he was missing zrizos. No, eliyesh kan kilkul chiyuvi. There's an essence of corruption in the mitzvah. Hamafsit shleimus tzuros shel hamaisa mitzvah. If you don't do it with zrizos, it's not the mitzvah. You learn the daf when you're falling asleep. That's not the daf. You're davening and you're falling asleep and you're not concentrating what you're saying. That's not davening. You don't do it with excitement. That's not the mitzvah. That's why he says that we learn it in the word mitzvah. Vayidei, upoigim is a mitzvah. That's why there's a blemish in the mitzvah. Chas v'shalom, if a person doesn't do it for zrizos. So that's what we have to undertake from tonight. We have to be yaysef people, always adding more. We have to be loy omos ki echya. We have to be those people that don't fall into the trap of a zikna. And we have to make sure that we do everything with zrizos. How are we going to do that? So I'll tell you something very interesting. Again, my father, Shalom, said a fabulous pshat in a pasuk in Tillim that we all know. And I think that this is something that we could be makabel upon ourselves, especially we're all men here tonight, and everybody has the chiyuv of limud ha-Torah. And I'll just take a little drink. We know that in the beginning of Tillim, it says a pasuk like this: "Ki b'soiras Hashem cheftzai, u'b'soiras so yega yom v'loila." The simple meaning is, in Perik Aleph, pasuk Beis, Ki im b'seiras Hashem, and the Torah Hashem should be your desire, u'b'teiras sayan, and Hashem's Torah, yega yomim v'loyla, you should dwell and think and be Isaac day and night. So the Gemara says an interesting thing, that in the beginning of the Pasuk it's called Torah Hashem. Before you learn it, there's Hashem's Torah. But once you learn it, u'b'seiras say, in Zayin Torah, the person who learned it, yega yomim v'loyla. That's how the Gemara understands it. My father, Oliver Shalom, understood it in such a different way, and he lived by this, that when he passed away, I put this pasuk on his matzeva. This is the pasuk that's on his matzeva. Listen to this, what how he touched it. Every person, he said, should have a chelek of Torah that's his special chelek, his special love that he has. Some people love tefillah. Some people love Hilchas Sefer Torah. Some people love Hilchas Shabbos. Some people love Hilchas Brachas. Everybody has to have something. His topic was Mila. There was not a Shaila and Tshuva in the world that was ever written on Mila that he didn't know. That's how he taishit it. Ki im b'seiras Hashem chevtza. You got to have desire to learn the whole Torah. You got to know everything and learn everything. But u'b'seiras say, and your Torah that you became the expert in, that you love so much, that's your baby, so to speak. That's Yega Yom V'Layla. And that's what my father, Shalom, always used to tell me. If you find a Sefer that's written on a specific topic, Hilchus Mezuzah, Hilchus Brachas, Hilchus Mikvah, buy it. You know why? Because that was his baby. That was his Torah. If somebody writes a Sefer on Hilchus Mezuzah, he knew it klar. Otherwise, he wouldn't write a Sefer on it. So you could learn so much from somebody that zeroed in on a certain topic and wrote about it. And that's what I would like to suggest, that every single one of us think about a chelek of Torah that you could make your own. It could be halacha, it could be Musa, it could be Gemara. Everybody has something. And I'll give you some topics. Let's say Tanakh. You have to raise your hand. When was the last time anybody here learned the Pasuk Tanakh? Really, when you think about it. Yeshua, Shoftim, Shmuel, Malachim. I'm not even talking Yeshaya, Yirin, and Yecheskel. I'm talking about, right? At Treyasar. Anybody ever look at Treyasar? When was the last time we looked at Mishlei or Kehelas? It's fascinating. There's so much there. Maybe make Tanakh your thing. Maybe make one of the Treyasar. I'm not even going to make a test and ask how many people can even mention the Treyasar. I'm sure most of us here can't. Have to think about it to write it down. That's a Shemin, really? It's a chelik of Tanakh. Right? Okay, it's unfortunate. They don't learn it in the yeshivas for whatever reason. But the point is, at what age are we going to start learning Tanakh? And you know what's fascinating? I don't know if you ever learned Dishu. The Dishu Mishneh Berurah is out of this world. When you learn Dishu Mishneh Berurah, I'm telling you, you'll find out what Rav Shlomo Zalman said. The Chofetz Chaim passed away in the 1930s. It's a lot of halachas that came up in new venues that the Chofetz Chaim couldn't write about. But Rav Moshe did. Rav Shlomo Zalman did. Rav Eliyashiv did. So they're all in Dishu. That's fascinating. You learn the Hilchos Shabbos and Hilchos Brachos. You see all these gedolim, they're mamash popping off the page from you, for you. It's a fascinating, fascinating lima to learn Dishu Mishneh Berurah. Again, Chumash. Tefillah. Do we all know what Ritzei V'Hachlitzeinu means? What does V'Hachlitzeinu mean? Even Art Scroll doesn't know. They got four Purushim on the Taich of V'Hachlitzeinu. Right? So if they got four Purushim on V'Hachlitzeinu, you want to know why we fall asleep by davening? Because we don't even know what we're talking about. He goes Chishvanufa. What does it mean? So if you don't know what it means, that's why your body is here and your mind is someplace else. So tonight, we have to undertake a chelik of Torah that becomes your baby, so to speak. Any halachas, whatever. You imagine that you became the baki in shul on Hilchos Sefer Torah. Anytime there was a shaila, they come right to you. A koyin, make brichas koyinim. That's your topic. Brochas, brichas, or whatever. But everybody takes something and makes them feel, and that makes them feel special. I'll tell you an amazing thing that happened this year. You know, my mother, Lashalom, was an unbelievable lady, as these fellows even know, and he knows. She never went to a Beis Yaakov. She grew up in Philadelphia, but she was as firm as anybody that you could imagine. So this year, just this year, my nephew, Yehuda Gutman, who lives in Lakewood, called me up, And he says, Uncle Pesach, I got to tell you something that is so amazing to me. He said, I never told it to you because I just never understood it, why she did it. And he told me the most amazing thing. Now, the last day of my mother's life was the second day of Sukkot. She passed away at night in the beginning of Chol HaMoed. Sukkot 8 years ago. So she was in a hospital in Lakewood, Paul Kimball. And my nephew, who lives in Lakewood, decided he was going to spend the 2 days Yontif with her. So he told me, he said, I never told you this because I just didn't understand it. But this year I saw something and I had to tell it to you. He said it was the second day Yontif. And he said to my mother, who was already out of it, he said, Bubby, would you like to shake the lulav and esrig? And she didn't respond. But he took the lulav and esrig and he put it in her hand and he put his fingers around her fingers. And he took the lulav and the esrig and he made the bracha, whether she responded or not to said the bracha, he didn't know. And they shook the lulav, you know, in all the directions, lulav and esrig. He said, after we finished, so I said to her, okay, Bubby, give me back. I'm going to take back the lulav and esrig. But she wouldn't give it to him. His fingers were around her fingers, but she was holding on to it very tight. She didn't let go. And he saw that she didn't want to leave go. So he decided, okay, he's going to take away his fingers, and she held it. And then she took it to her lips. She kissed the lulav, she kissed the esrig, and she gave it back to him. He said, I was amazed. I never saw anybody do that. So he said, and then he took the lulav and esrig from her. This year, he tells me, he's teaching in Edison. He teaches in one of the yeshivas. And he saw a Be'er Heitev. You have to look at this Be'er Heitev. Hilchas Afikoyman. That's why he called me before Yantar, before Pesach. It's Nor Chaim Tov Ayin Zayin Aleph. It says like this. Kosav Shlo. Right? The Shlo HaKadosh writes. Ra'isi, I saw. Mibnei Aliyah. The Hechor mentioned. Shehoyu Menashkin HaMatzos V'HaMorar. They used to kiss the matzos and the morar. I never kissed Mora till this year. Every one of my kids and grandchildren, we all were kissing the Mora at the table, right? V'chein sukkah. Listen to this, a Be'er Heitev. The Shlo writes, the sukkah, every time you walk in, b'chnisasai or b'tziyasai, just like the mezuzah, right? You kiss it, right? V'chein dalet mina shebelulav. And the dalet mina shebelulav. V'hakol, why do you do that? Kiss the matzah, kiss the Mora, kiss the sukkah, kiss the dalet mina. Why? L'chavav ha-mitzvah, to show that you love the mitzvah. V'ashrei. That's what he says. Lucky is the person who serves Hashem b'simcha. Oh my goodness. That's amazing. You love a mitzvah. And he told me he could never forget that she kissed the lulav and esrog. Okay, I got it from her, so I always did it. But the point is, you have a chavivus to a mitzvah. You have an excitement for a mitzvah. You look at a mitzvah differently. This is what I do. I have my own siddur. You don't only use the siddur of the shul. You come into a shul, you never daven, so fine. Otherwise, daven in your own siddur. I feel that svarim are your best friend next to your wife. Besides your wife, who should be your best friend, the next best friend is your svarim. I highlight my svarim. I underline my svarim wherever I go. I'm sure I have it here. Of course, wherever I go, I got to highlight. I'm always underlining my chumash and the gemara, everything. Because every time you hear a good shot, you want to underline it. And every time you're learning it, it's talking to you. You remind yourself what Rav Shlomo Freifeld said, what Rav Shlomo Zalman said, what anybody said. But you got your own siddur. You take it wherever you go. There's a love for it. And you bind it in leather. You may, however you bind it, but it's yours. You feel chavivus for mitzvah. That's how you gain an excitement. You love the mitzvahs. And I'll tell you an amazing thing. I think one of the mitzvahs that we really have to start doing, and that's the mitzvah of doing a favor for another yid. You know what the Sefer Chofetz Chaim writes? The Sefer Chofetz Chaim writes in Avos Chesed, Perek Yud Beis, Umo'oid tzorach lizoher. You have to be very careful. Shelo yechsaloi midas ha-chesed afilo yoyim echad. Don't let one day go by that you don't do a chesed for another yid. Mimei chayav, for the rest of your life. K'moyishet, just like you got to learn something every day, you got to do a chesed every day. And I brought a present for every single one of you. And this present is this little book. There's a fellow, Yaakov Goldman, in Baltimore. He heard me speak about this idea of doing a chesed every day. And we designed this book. It's called the Chesed Challenge Journal. There's a website. You can go on the website. And if you do this 40 days in a row, first of all, your life is going to change. Hashem Tzilcha, Hashem is your shadow. You do for others, Hashem is going to do for you. And then if you do it 40 days in a row, you get on the website, you get a free pamphlet of the 10 greatest chesed stories, you know, in all the Magid books. But everybody take one. Take more than one. And make sure you and your family, now write down one chesed a day. Don't write down 20. Even if you do 20, because then you're going to feel better on those days that you only did one. And I can just tell you, 3 days yontif, they're hard. They're hard to do a chesed. What are you going to do 3 days yontif? I'll tell you what I do. I buy people aliyahs. Nobody knows that. I'm telling you. You buy somebody an aliyah, you did him a chesed, right? Otherwise, what are you going to do yontif? You can't make a call. You can't go carpool. Can't lend anybody money, right? So what are you going to do? But the point is, you become creative in what you can do for chesed. Besides visiting somebody who's sick, I'm not talking husbands and wives for husbands. That you got to do if you know what's good for you. I'm talking about outside the house. So people say to me, oh, does the charity begin at home? Chesed begins at home? Yeah, of course. But that's not how you become a Baal Chesed, by being kind to your spouse. That's how you keep your marriage, you keep your head on your shoulders. But otherwise, you know, take this book and write down every day. It's got many, many lines. I mean, you just could carry it for a year. But again, just one a day, at least one a day. And you'll see you become a different type of person. And I just want to end just with two things. Many of you know that I have the great schus, and I wish we could go with all of you one day to Poland. And we go to the concentration camps, and we go to the places like Lezhensk and Warsaw and Gier and all these amazing places. But a couple years ago, I found out about this tefillah. It's amazing. There was a Rav who was in Bergen-Belsen. And the way this was found, there was an old lady. Her name was Mrs. Irma Haas. She was 104 years old. She lived in Washington Heights, and then she moved to Eretz Yisrael in her 90s with her sister. And when her family was going through her papers, after she passed away, they found the most unbelievable tefillah. And this was a tefillah that was said before people ate chametz in Bergen-Belsen. There was a Rav from Rotterdam in Holland. His name was Rabbi Sochar Bernards Davids. And he wrote this tefillah. Now he knew that everybody felt terrible that they're going to have to eat chametz on Pesach. But he knew that they have to live. They have to survive. How are they going to do that? So he had this tefillah. Now, I printed it. Maybe I'll send it to maybe David Solomon and everybody will be able to get it next week and make copies as much as you want. Lefnei achilas chametz yoyma b'kavonas aleiv. Listen to this tefillah. Ovinu shebashamayim. Hinei golav yadua lefanecha. Hashem yinu sheretzoneinu laseis v'tzoncha. That we want to do your will. V'lochoy geschaga Pesach and to celebrate the yontif of Pesach b'achilas matzah u'shmiras isu chametz. Achal zoiz do'avo libeinu. Hashem, but we feel so bad she'ashibud ma'akev esanu. And now the shibud that we have to these people, it curtails us. We're in danger. Now we are ready to be makayim your mitzvah v'chay b'hem v'loy sheyamos b'hem. And to be careful that which you taught us in the Torah. Watch your soul very carefully. Alkein, tefilasenu. That you should keep us sustained, and we should be redeemed. Do you know that so many people, since they heard about this tefillah, keep it on the Seder table? Now, Chas v'Shalom, it doesn't become part of the Seder. You can't add anything to the Haggadah. But read it to your kids. Let a child read it. And let them understand what does it mean, how grateful we have to be. That we live in a great country, and that we live in a place where we have freedom, and that we can have MetLife Stadium 100,000 at Asim Ashas, and we can have these kinusim. I'm telling you, I was just in many different countries. I was in São Paulo. Do you know that in São Paulo, Brazil, you cannot walk into a shul because you walk into a cubicle, they lock the door in front of you and behind you, then they watch you, and they once they decide you're not a terrorist, then they'll open up the next door. I tried to speak in a Beis Yaakov. Of course, I was able to speak in a Beis Yaakov, but not before I walked into a room. Doors are closed, front and back. They look at you over, and then they'll let you go. We live in a great country. Even in Antwerp, you know, there's police. I'm France. Hashem Yerachim. What's going on in France? When I spoke in France, I spoke in some school. There's so many police in front of every school. You know, they just told me. It's unbelievable. The other night, they had a meeting for Shuvul. One of the biggest problems, 700 kids came to Eretz Yisrael this past year for shuvul schools from France alone. You know what that means? People that are living in France? I mean, we live in a great country, no matter who's running for president. Right? Whatever, that's a totally different topic. But we have to know that we are living in a great country. David still loves us. So we have to take advantage of that. And we have to show the children. What does it mean? So I just want to end just with this fabulous, fabulous thought. You know, this year, we had a fabulous Shiloh. Everybody had this Shiloh. What do you do on the first... on the first Yud Aleph Adar, Adar Rishon. Yud Aleph Adar is Purim, right? But usually if there's 2 months, so we make it the second month. So what do you do the first month, Yud Aleph Adar? It's a machlokes. So they open up the Shulchan Aruch Mamish from the back, Aruch Chaim, the last din in Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Chaim. So the Ramah writes like this. There's a machlokes whether you should add something to the Suda, Yud Aleph Adar Rishon or not. Makom Makom, Yirbuk Tzas B'Suda. Add a little bit to the Suda. So you'll add a little bit to the Suda. It's not so bad. And he writes, V'toiv leiv mishta tamid. A good heart, life's a party. V'toiv leiv mishta tamid. You got to be a break the hearts. Life's a party. Mishta tamid. Eat a little bit extra on your dalad adar. Fine. The Shari Tshuva says something so unbelievable, you'll never forget this. It's amazing. The Shari Tshuva mamish on the last Simen Shulchan Aruch Tov Reish Tzadik Zayin. And he writes Shari Tshuva Aleph. He says, oh, look what the Ramah did. The Ramah ended the Shulchan Aruch with this pasuk, Toiv Leiv Mishta Tamid. How did the Ramah start the Shulchan Aruch? After the Beis Yosef gives an introduction, he says, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid. So he started Shulchan Aruch with Tamid, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid, and he ended Toiv Leiv Mishta Tamid. He said, that's the pshat, Shnei Simid and Kilchosan. Isn't that fabulous? Shnei Simid and Kilchosan, that's what Azei Zokt Min Anyantef. You gotta have every day. You gotta have Shavisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid. But you gotta live life. Toiv Leiv Mishta Tamid. That's what life is all about. And if you have that attitude in life, Madav Zayin Frum, Madav Zayin Erlach, Madav Zayin Besimcha, you live life. Toiv Leiv Mishta Tamid. But Shavisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid. That's the Shnei Simidim Kilchosan. I think if we have this attitude of the beginning of Shulchan Aruch and the end of Shulchan Aruch, we can get back that enthusiasm to do mitzvahs of Avas Hashem, Avas HaTorah, and Avas Yisrael. David should help that all of us should be able to fulfill our potential and make every day count. Thank you for inviting me, and thank you for listening.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.